Thank you, brother. Appreciate that song. It's good to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I have experienced the mercy of God. Amen. Now, I believe, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take and give my faith that I have to everybody. I would. I'd like to see everybody saved, but not everybody's interested. Amen. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad that I'm able to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm excited. Sometimes the Lord gets me charged up. I get excited. I'm tired, but, when the Holy Spirit moves, it just kind of takes over. That's kind of the way the past couple of days have been for me. And tonight, if you got your Bible, I want to read in Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to read the Beatitudes, but there's one in particular that I want to talk about. And these are attitudes that ought to be. And I want to read the first 12 verses, but we're going to talk about in particular. We're going to talk about just one of these. We're going to talk about verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, we get into this in just a minute. I'll share my thoughts with you. But let's look at the scripture first and let's read the verses. It says, Jesus speaking, he says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In verse 9 it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And then back to verse 9, I want to read that verse again, because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, here we see Jesus, and he's got great multitudes coming to him, and they come looking for a blessing. They come looking for a word. They want him to speak to them and give them something profound. And I think they come because every time they were in his presence when he spoke, it was profound. You know, I believe Jesus was the greatest preacher to ever walk on the face of the earth. You know, when you begin to think about it, what makes a great preacher? To me, the most important thing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I like to hear a preacher, and I've been inspired by some. And I grew up, I got called to preach when I was in the ninth grade. But I can remember being around preachers that just absolutely inspired me. And some of them in particular for certain and different reasons. But the most important thing is when I would see a man that had the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God on him. Now, here's something I want you to understand about Jesus. He was the living spirit. Okay? He was the living word. He didn't have to try. You know, what I've done is I've tried to be able to quote. You know, I've tried to memorize. It's kind of like a wanna. I used to have me a little notebook. I tried to memorize verses of Scripture. I've studied. I've tried to apply. But I had to work. Jesus didn't have to work. It was in him and it come out of him. What did it say in the book of John in the first chapter? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. In another place it talks about how that he overcame them by the word of his power. So what I want you to understand here is when these people sat in the presence of Jesus Christ and he spoke words to them, it was powerful. And it moved them. Now Jesus, when they come to him looking, he opens his mouth and he begins to speak to them. And he tells them how to get a blessing. Now, you go through these Beatitudes, and it said, blessed are. And it gives different ones, but it says here in the ninth verse, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, here's something I want you to understand about these Beatitudes. These are not spiritual gifts. Sometimes people say, well, that's just not the way that I am. It's kind of like God just didn't bless me with the ability to be kind. It doesn't work that way. You know, when I look at these things and I look at them and I look at my life, he's saying, if you want to be blessed, here's the prerequisite. And if you got a problem with it, what you ought to do is seek God, search God, and ask God that he'd come and work in your heart and your life and help you be more like him. Now, I know and understand that people are built and made differently, okay? We have different personalities. Some people are extroverts. Some people are introverts. Some people can just go up to folks and talk to them. And we talked about that a little bit ago, that if you want to get somebody to, you know, kind of be a worker to get somebody on board, you need somebody that's outgoing. You know, when I tell people I am a serious, extreme introvert, they don't believe me. But I am. And when I read these Beatitudes, I see things here that when I look at them, in order for me to have them in my life, I've had to work at it. But have you ever been around somebody, and I can remember this when I was growing up, there was a family in our church when I was a kid. They have children that are very close in age to what I am, maybe a little bit younger than me. But, you know, we'd go to church and I'd get in trouble because I'd be fighting with my sister. Or I'd be down under the bench making cars out of paper and bubble gum. And I can remember doing those things. And then I would look over and my mother would say something like, look at those kids over there, how well behaved they are, and look at you. And you know, and I look over there at them, it's almost like they don't move. And I thought about that, and sometimes we look and we think and we look at ourselves, you can't go by that. You really can't. You know why? Because right now, if I were to tell you these two children that are in my mind, the condition that their life is in, you never would have thought it when you watched them when they were kids. When they sat on the bench and they didn't move and they were obedient and they were, you know, compliant, the problem is they never took that outside natural attitude of being quiet and applied it down on the inside. You see, what God wants to do is he wants to take this word and take you and whoever you are and whatever you are and get you to understand that you need to apply it to your life, you as an individual, and don't think in yourself that you're going to make it by yourself. We were there last night and I heard two singers get up and give their testimony about how they sang in gospel groups for years, traveling to churches, in big churches, singing and praising God, lost. Because they never took what was on the outside and applied it to their heart. When I look at this scripture, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, what are peacemakers? I want to look a little bit about what peacemakers are and what peacemakers are not. And I want to give you an understanding that you can be a peacemaker. There are some people, and you'll know when I begin to talk about it who these people are. But the truth is, if you want to be right with God, we need to take all of these things and seek to apply them to our heart and our lives. Now, here's what a peacemaker is not. A peacemaker is not someone who is passive. See, sometimes here's what happens with peacemakers. Somebody will say something like this, and it's generally a spouse or it's somebody in the family. It could be someone around them, but they'll say, you won't do anything about a problem. That's what a person will say, but that's not true. Or they'll say something like this, you won't defend me. Or they'll say something like this, you are weak. But that's not necessarily true either. You see, because a peacemaker is going to say something like this. Something might happen or something will be said, and this is what they'll say. They'll say, well, you really, maybe you shouldn't take it that way. Maybe you shouldn't take it to heart as much as you do. Maybe you need to look for a different meaning. It's kind of like when you're around somebody and, you know, this is what you have to be careful of in church. It's what we're going to do. We're going to get together and we're going to say, you know, so-and-so, they're stuck up. And every time we get together, they don't speak to me. Now, I know when I get in the pulpit, y'all think there's no way that guy's an introvert. But you put me over in this fellowship hall, and we have a meal after church, and y'all going to wonder what's wrong with me. And then y'all going to look at my wife, and y'all going to think she ought to be the preacher. Because she's so outgoing, and she's so friendly, and I'm the opposite. And I'm not unfriendly. I'm scared of you. I grew up in the house of a peacemaker. And I think my wife will nod her head that my dad was a peacemaker. He was a peacemaker, and when we, you know how it is when you get together at Christmas time with all your brothers and sisters that you don't get along with, and your aunts and uncles that you have to hide your pocketbooks from? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you get together, and you know what my dad would do? His desire was always that people would just get together, put aside all of their differences, and just be able to have a time, a family time together. And if there was ever a conflict, he immediately stepped in and he wanted resolution. He wanted peace in the house. He wanted peace in the home. If it was the same way in church, he would step in because he wanted it to be peaceful. He was a peacemaker, and I watched him and I observed that and I saw it in him. It doesn't mean that he's weak. It doesn't mean that he's a coward. And it does not mean that he won't do anything about a problem. What does it mean? The meaning of a peacemaker is one who seeks or makes peace. Sometimes people don't want to make peace. Sometimes people's kind of like this, and there's an old country song, I just want to be mad for a while. I'm mad, I'm glad I'm mad, and don't ask me to get over it. But a peacemaker's going to step in, and they're going to seek peace. They don't want there to be conflict in the home. They don't want there to be conflict in the church. Now, they're not perfect. They're human beings just like you. But a characteristic is they want to make peace. The marks of a peacemaker is one who will overlook offenses. It's when somebody's done you wrong, really all you're looking for and what you're wanting is resolution. In other words, just let's make peace. You know, I've been down some roads in my life and had some trials, and there's a verse over here in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 19 and verse number 18. Says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had people hurt my feelings. I've been done wrong. Yeah, I grew up in church all my life, and I soon realized that the meanest people in life you're ever going to meet are in a Baptist church. I know this church is wonderful, okay? But we're not perfect, are we? You see, I remember one time I was offended by a man who was a preacher, and I worked with this man. And I saw how he lived and the things that he'd done and the standard. You know, sometimes this is the way it is if you're not careful. You'll run into a preacher or a teacher. They got one standard for you based on the Word of God, but it don't necessarily apply to them. And I was around this man, and I saw how he had done, and it got to the point that it offended me so much. And this is the way you can get. I didn't enjoy going to church. I go to church, and I saw him. I despised him so much. Now, folks, I was a teenager. I despised him so much that I actually wanted to harm him. You say, well, I don't, you know what I'm talking about. And God showed me this verse of Scripture. And you know what God began to do? God didn't say, you're right, I'm going to deal with him, I'm going to straighten him out. God said, what about you? God said, what about your heart? What about what's going on in your life? Because if you don't grow in your relationship with God, it's not going to matter if God wipes every evil person off of the face of the earth. What God wants is you and you to have a right relationship with Him. Because if He deals with everybody else and you hadn't dealt with your relationship with God, He said, blessed are. And He fills in the blank. See, a person that is a peacemaker, one of the marks, they overlook offenses. They look for what's good. They demonstrate patience. That's tough. And here's one right here that we just don't like to do. It goes against us. A peacemaker often surrenders to the will of others. That's tough. You see, because we really want to please ourselves. But He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You ever been around somebody and they just have the marks of the Lord on them? And what do you say about them? That's a godly person. And when I think about my dad, that's what I think. And growing up, yeah, I have been offended. I've had preachers offend me. I've had church people offend me. But I want to tell you this also. I have grown up around some of the best people of God that you could ever be around. And some of you, when you remember back the times you've had in church, you know the same thing. You've seen people do wrong. But hadn't you seen people walk with God? Hadn't you seen people be faithful to God? Hadn't you seen people love people in spite of themselves? Have you not seen people done wrong but still stand and do what's right because they were more concerned about being right with God than they were about being right with somebody? And when you see that, you say, those are the children of God. And those are the ones that you learn from and you watch that are in your heart and your mind right now. What about the measure of a peacemaker? The measure is that Christ that we've been speaking of today. See, in John chapter number 14 and verse number 27, He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the Lord's a peacemaker. And I know that because when I look at these marks, has He not overlooked our offenses? Has He not looked for good in us? And I know personally, God's been patient with me. You know, there's been times in my life that I've had to learn patience myself, but my heart burned to be able to preach and serve God. That's what I wanted to do. But I had to learn how to be still. And the honest truth is there's a time in my life that I honestly thought that because of my failure, maybe God wouldn't use me. But I decided that I was going to stand and be faithful. Because if I stand and be faithful and I demonstrate these characteristics, God may not use me, but this is honestly what was in my heart. Maybe one of my boys are going to be a preacher that God could use. Maybe one of my boys would be a missionary that God could use. Maybe my daughter would be used by God to be a woman of God. And when I look at these things, the honest truth is I'm able to stand up here tonight and preach and open this word, not because I'm good. People come up and they say, well, you know, the church is doing good. How many did you baptize? It ain't about the preacher standing behind the pulpit. It's about a God that is a peacemaker that loves you enough that when you deserved what's on the outside, He was patient. See, if people could get an understanding that I'm standing up here behind this pulpit because God is graceful. Because God is merciful. And because God demonstrates patience. You see, when he walked on the earth, he didn't seek his own, but he sought to help others. One place, didn't he say, the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. He didn't come into the world seeking the treasures of the world. Jesus came into the world seeking that you and I might have life. So the measure of a peacemaker is ultimately in Christ. Now what about for you and me? What is the making of a peacemaker? Now I'm telling you things that go against my natural character. You see, the Bible teaches us clearly when you're looking for a preacher in particular, or even a deacon, not to take a brawler. That's what it says. It also says not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride. But if I were to look at my own characteristics, what are they? We all suffer with pride. We all have a certain amount of that brawler in us. You see, because when we look on the outside and we see those characteristics that I talked about with those children, those aren't real. And the reason they're not real is because we're all born into a world of sin. And without Jesus Christ, we will never be able to make it on our own. So here's where it really gets right down to it. It's when I read this scripture and I understand these things, the question is, am I listening so that I can apply them to my heart and my life? Am I a peacemaker? You say, well, I'm not really a peacemaker. I'm not really a giver. I'm not much on serving. Well, you should be. It said, blessed are, and he goes down through the list. And he's trying to teach us how to get a blessing from God. So here's what I have to do. I have to listen, I have to learn, and I have to surrender. That's the only way I'm going to grow and be more like Christ. And you know what my heart's desire is for this church? Folks, I want to see people saved. Isn't it wonderful that we have? It's praise the Lord. Amen? It's wonderful. But you know what else is important in us, in our lives as Christians and as the family of God? We need to grow in our relationship with God. You see, because when people begin to grow in their relationship with God, we won't have to beg for workers, for people to fill the work roles in this church as this church begins to grow. Because the truth is we see it growing and we see people not willing to step forward. It's evidence that people are not themselves growing in their relationship with God. That's why it's important. You know, I got a grandbaby on the way, and it's a boy now, I can tell y'all, okay? But when that baby's born and we hold it, and we look at it for the first time, you know what we're going to do? We're going to look at it, we're going to, you know, check it out, and we're going to start feeding it. And it's not going to be long, we're going to go to the doctor with it. And we're going to put on the scales. And we're going to step back, well, how much has he gained? And they're going to look at you and, you know, what if they said, oh, he hadn't gained anything. You wanted a baby, you're going to have one. 5 years from now, you bring him back, he's the same size. You know, we love him, but I want to tell you something. Every time my kids go a step in a grade higher in school, I want them to learn at that level. You know, when they get up to the point that it's time for them to be a man, I love them. We want to keep them at home, but I want them to be a man. And I want them to be able to take care of themselves, because the truth is, they belong to God first, not me. And that's important for us as Christians. And when we're looking in God's Word and we see these are not spiritual gifts, God's saying, if you want a blessing, these are the things that I want to see in you. So when I look at it, you can't say, be careful of this. Well, they did me wrong. I've wrote them off. Can't expect me to forgive them. That's just not who I am. That's not the way I am. I'm just going to tell them what I think. You're not learning. You're not learning. You know what the truth is? That's me. What would I do if I was left to myself? There'd be no kindness. There'd be no mercy. There'd be no goodness. There'd be no grace. I'd be filled with pride. I'd be a brawler. And God couldn't use me. So when I look at these things and I look at this scripture, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, I've had people come to this church, and they've come up to me. You know what they've said? That's the friendliest people I've ever met. I like that. When people come, and we actually had some to go with us to camp, and I really appreciate this about our youth. I really do. We reached out and have pulled. I like to see them pull them in. Pull them in to be a part of what God's doing. And I kind of really, to be honest with you, I don't know if I should have done this or not, but I paid attention to ours compared to a lot of those other youth groups that were up there. And I'll tell you, it was a blessing to me to see how the youth of this church behaved. Because the truth is, they demonstrate these characteristics. And you know, here's something, and it's sad but true, but I'm going to close with this. One night when Brother Roger preached, and there were a lot of kids come down, and you know, they needed different people to work with them, and I ended up counseling with a little boy that was from a church down in South Georgia. And he counseled, and I was talking to him, and he shared with me how his heart was heavy for his church and for his youth group. He said, you know, my youth group leaders, he said, they just don't come much anymore. He said, in our group, it's not growing. And he said, I just wish God would do something in our church. And when I began to talk to him and I listened to him and I listened to his heart. That's why sometimes I think, you know, we need revival in America. Folks, it might come through our youth. Because when I looked at that little boy and I read these Beatitudes based on what he was telling me, they were demonstrated more in him than in the leaders he should be looking to. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You see, I'm a man now. I'm not a boy. It's time for me to grow. Amen? And you know, a lot of times when God gives me stuff, it's for me first. You ever had God give you something, you get it, no, it's hard to digest. But aren't you glad that He loves you enough that He speaks to you? Because here's what I would fear. God being silent and leaving me to myself. I wouldn't want that. Would you? I would. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for being with us. Does anyone have anything on your heart tonight you'd like to share, anything you'd like to say for the Lord?